I'm Sue Harris, interviewing for the Dialect and Heritage Project with Sue Stiles. And can I ask you to introduce yourself, Judy?
Yes, my name is Judy Barker.
And where were you born, Judy?
Kirby Moorside.
Right, and did you grow up there? Where did you grow up? Yeah. And where do you live now?
Pockley, near Hunsley.
And how long have you lived there?
66 years.
Right, okay. And where did your parents grow up? Were they in the same area?
My father's family's been in this area for... Well, his paternal side's been in this area for a long time. But my father's mother came from Teesside, actually.
Right, and what did they come here for? Were they...
Well, her father was... their name was Watson, and her father was... a miner in Teesside. Mm-hmm. And the story is, I mean, this is just hearsay, I've got no proof of it, but the story is that they came down to manage the jet mines at Broughton, at the other end of Billsdale. Mm. There was quite a big jet industry there in the Victorian times, apparently.
Oh, and right.
So that's how he came to be down here.
Right.
And his daughter went to be a cook at Newbury Priory, which is at Coxwold, and somehow or other managed to make Grandad Sturdy, who was my granddad. So that's where that half came from. Mm-hmm. The other half, my mum's mum, was a master builder's Edwardian daughter who ran up with a gas man, whose father was a miner in West Yorkshire.
Yeah, but you've stayed here always. What have you done here always?
Well, I went to school here. I went to Lady Lumley's, then I went to Scarborough Tech for a year, and then I worked for the Ministry of Warag, we used to call it, the Ministry of Agriculture, when agriculture was important enough to have its own ministry. And then I married a farmer, and I've been farming ever since.
Right, okay. And where did you say that was?
Pockley.
Pockley.
It's just this side of Helmsley.
And have things changed very much here in your time you've been here, do you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Completely out of sight. Everywhere's changed.
Yeah. And in terms of dialect and things like that, and the expressions you hear, I suppose, on the farm... Has that changed?
Well, amongst ourselves, it won't have changed very much, but in our village, there's, I think, about two Yorkshire accents, and the rest are from all over everywhere. So, because there's no farms left in the village now.
Right.
It's like what I call it, urban suburbia. Not urban, rural suburbia, maybe. Mm.
So do you find there's kind of two languages then? Do the farmers speak?
Amongst ourselves,
their own language amongst themselves.
Mm.
And are there any particular words that you can identify as being really local to here that you use?
I could identify millions if you want. Where do I start?
Can I ask, how did you get involved with the Dialect Society?
Well, my dad and his family, until I was 11... I didn't go out to... Well, it was wartime anyway, so I didn't go out to Kirby very much because nobody went anywhere in wartime. And I didn't realise I had a dialect because we all spoke the same. And then when I got to the grammar school, the big dialect writer, he proceeded to knock it all out of us. And he was, you won't get a job if you speak like that. And yet he used to write dialect plays and was quite famous for it, but he wouldn't let the pupils... So I've ended up with a sort of what I call a mid-grammar school accent, which is neither one thing or the other. But it's very difficult to talk to someone like yourselves in dialect. But if you go to a sheepdog trial or something, you just slip back into it. And I've always spoken it, I suppose, or bits of it.
Is that important to you?
It gets more important as it gets older, because I can remember years ago, there was about two Welshmen and a cat could still speak Welsh, and they made a big fuss about it, didn't they? And now they've got Welsh on the road signs, and it's a proper language. And the other part about the dialect is a lot of the Yorkshire Dialect Society, this lot, they're based in the West Riding, and their accent is totally different to our accent. And their accent is, if you look, if anyone comes on the television and they're talking about Yorkshire, they all have a West Riding accent. And
that's true.
And it's because apparently my granddaughter went to drama school, and they're taught to, if they've got to have a northern accent, they use the Barnsley one because it's easier to learn. Because our dialect, unless you're born to it, is difficult to get your tongue around. And I just feel that we're getting forgotten. But I mean, I've only been retired a few years, and the older I get, you know, the more determined I am. I can help to keep it going, I will do.
Good. What does your granddaughter think about this?
Thinks I'm crackers.
does she like some of the expressions, though? Does she?
I don't know. The family, they're funny, really, because they just think, oh, it's grandma, you know, grandma with a bee in her bonnet. But some of the words keep slipping out. They're still there, buried deep, you know. And I was laughing at my daughter because she's had a career away from farming, and she said something the other day. And we were coming down this bit, and she says, "By slip." And I said, "Hey, up you back. We're going to win you back eventually."
Do you have any words from that you know are from older members of your family that you kind of hang on to, which you maybe don't hear now, but you still use them because your parents or grandparents use them?
Well, you can't think about it, can you? My father's mum, who was my grandma, we used to call her Nanny. They used to tell a story about her. The kids had a little kitten, and they were, you know, loving it to death, sort of thing. And Nanny's reputed to have said, "Give our nearing on," which means stop mauling it about in English, because your knees are your fists. And give over was give our. Give our navin on. Stop messing about with it. That sort of thing. It's difficult to do it out of context.
Would you use that?
Oh, I do frequently.
Oh, you do?
The more so, the more dialect I can get into everyday speech, the better. Because, I mean, I've got a strong northern accent anyway. But it's not a dialect accent.
Yeah.
You've got to, you know.
And what about your husband? Did he come?
Oh no, he doesn't approve at all. He doesn't think it's a good idea.
Oh, why?
I don't know. It's just.
But doesn't he find that amongst farmers that they're still using these expressions?
I suppose he does. I don't know. I don't know really.
Notice him using anything?
Sorry.
Do you notice him using any expressions that you think?
No, because you see. If you said one, I would notice it. But if you're talking to somebody, you're all talking the same language, and you don't notice.
No.
No.
No. We need to come and eavesdrop on you talking together, don't we? Really.
That would be wonderful.
You want to go to a high side sheepdog trial and listen to that lot? Because they're still up Whitby and all around there. A bunch of farmers, particularly sort of dog and stick men, and they do talk a different language.
Do you understand them?
Oh, yes.
You understand all that.
Yes, I revert back if I get a moment, apparently.
What do you contribute to the Dialect Society then? Do you find that you can give them words and expressions that you remember?
Well, Robin said to me years ago, "We ought to join the Yorkshire Dialect Society." And I said, same as everybody else thinks around here, "Oh, they're all West Riding, you know, they don't want to know about us." And he said, "Well, they won't know about us if we don't tell them, will they?" So I said, "Well, no, I suppose they won't." So so we joined, and we've been joined about 10 years, I think, now. And they've been very welcoming, I have to say. You know, Rod's chairman now, and he asked me to do a dialect talk. We were going round libraries, and he asked me to do one at West Eight, and which frightened me to death, but we managed. A room full of people is a bit daunting.
Yes.
When you... Anyway, we managed. And they're very welcoming if you go to their functions. They do a magazine twice a year, and they publish quite a lot of my stuff in the magazine.
But so what's your stuff then? What do you send them?
Dialect poetry and stuff like that, and dialect stories and...
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so I brought this one. I didn't know the...
Oh, fabulous.
Do. My latest thing is we get the Yorkshire Post, and they've got to start now asking about dialect, and I keep answering it. I think they probably think I'm a nuisance. But
I'm sure they like that.
There was one. That's the latest one.
Read it.
Well, this is from a bloke called Jack Market Wheaton. I've got no idea who he is, but he says, "I thought I would pass on to your readers a passage from a book that I am currently reading, as it's a challenge for your dialect lovers. It's part of a story about Nanny Nicholson, who kept a store of potatoes in a pie in her garden. One morning she found the pie broken and the potatoes scattered all over the garden. A neighbour informed her that what had happened was as follows. It were all along at Razzle, at a scratty under end bark, and Razzle flat bull round again, yat stop and dang staggered gate off creeks, and went bellering down the road like out mad. Then he met Jamie Brown with a yaffing little dog, and the dog yaffed it, and he flat bull, and bull take our age, and romped right into Nanny Nicholson's dirty pie." Which translated means...
Did you translate it then?
Yes. Yeah. So this is this week's.
Yeah.
It was all because the weasel was scratching underneath the hen house floor, and the weasel frightened the bull, and the bull rubbed against the gatepost and knocked the stackyard gate off its crooks and went bellowing down the lane like something possessed. Then he met Jamie Brown with his little yapping dog, and the dog yapped and frightened the bull, and the bull took off over the hedge and jumped right into Nanny Nicholson's potato pie.
Brilliant.
Thank you for helping we few to keep interest in our diet. Dialect alive. Yeah.
Can I just ask, was that potato pie or pile?
Pie.
Pie? So
yeah.
What's a potato pie?
Well, it's to keep root vegetables. You can make a mango pie or a turnip pie, and you put your vegetables in, and then you cover it with soil and make a sort of a crust on the top, and it grows grass and things. This is to keep your vegetables over the winter before you've got your new taters from Egypt in December.
Yes.
And you open the end and got a few taters out for your dinner, and then you padded it down again. And
it's an outdoor thing? Oh,
yeah, it's outdoor,
outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Useful. I'm going to take that tip.
Do you do it?
No.
Did you ever do it?
No.
Oh, right.
The nearest thing I ever got to do it was during the war. We had an allotment, and he used to grow carrots, and we had a big beer barrel, big wooden beer barrel. We used to fill it with sand, and we used to put carrots in a layer of sand, and that used to keep carrots. Because people had no fridges in those days, and you just had to make best of what there was.
What about, I mean, you spend a lot of time outdoors, so you have done.
I've done, yeah.
What about the things you would use to describe weather and words for weather and things like that? Have you got...
Oh, yeah, there's lots of words. Like,
what comes to mind for you?
Well, I have to look out there today, and it's coming darker. I might say it was demming. There's another one I don't think is Yorkshire, but amuses me, and they say, it's looking black, our Jack's mothers.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard that?
We say Bill's mothers.
Bill's mothers. Yeah, that's it.
And rain, we've had different kinds of rain, haven't we, the last few days. What would you say about this kind of on-off?
Well, it's not very polite what we would call it, doing, to be honest.
Well, tell us.
So it was gone.
Yeah. That's normal.
Yeah. And what about this kind of... You know, half raining and half not.
When it's, I don't know. Saw me, I think you would call it.
Sorry.
Saw me.
Saw me.
But It's like, have you heard of Adam Collier?
Yes.
Well, Adam says the dialect changes every 8 miles, and yeah. and he's, I mean, what I call one thing, you go over the hill and it'll be called something else, you know, because he's...
Because families never moved, did they? They never.
They didn't. No, they didn't.
Very far at all.
No. Mm-hmm. This is why it's... this is why it's going out, because, you know, my family's no different. There's none of them at home. Mm-hmm. Now we've got no farmer left, and mm-hmm. everybody's spread to the four winds, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they come back with different ideas, and it's, in a way it's a shame, but in another way it's not, you know, it's just...
Do you think you have any special traditions in your family that you might have?
No, not really, I don't think...
Things that you do every year? Or...
No.
No. Even with farming?
Well, I mean, you have your animal routine, and you plant your corn when you can get your field right, and you put your tucks in at the right time to get your yows in lamb and things like that, don't you?
Yeah.
What sort of farm did you have,
Julie? We used to grow corn and potatoes and sheep and cattle.
Mm-hmm. So what they call a mixed farm?
Mixed farm, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how many people did you have working on the farm?
Well, my husband always says that when he first came up, his granny was on the farm then, and they had 16 men. And before I finished up, I ended up with myself, my daughter-in-law, and one man. And we were farming 3 times more acres. Good. So that's how it's changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big machines.
Yeah.
And then if you buy a big machine, then you've got to work it and do everybody else's to pay for it.
Mm.
So it's a bit of a rat race.
Mm.
But I mean the old traditions, some old people do them, but I don't think the modern farmers don't really have time to do many old traditions.
No, but they all go to the agricultural show.
Oh yeah, yeah, they all go to, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
The sort of highlight of the year.
That's the day off.
Yes, that's their holiday, that's yeah. what I've heard.
They all go to the Yorkshire show, yeah, yeah. They all go to the Rydale show.
Yeah.
And that's where you can't understand people very often.
Well, I can.
It must be nice to get together with people again who are traditional farming stock.
It is. I don't know. I mean, farmers seem to talk about farming. There's different farmers now. Farming's different now. There's big farmers and little farmers, little what we call dog and stick men who live up the moors. But people have left farming, and even the little farms have got to be bigger farms, and then other people live in the houses, you know.
Yes.
It's just totally changed.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. I was talking to a lady the other day who was from Laskell, you know, Billsdale way.
Sue?
Another
Sue?
No, Daisy. No, Daisy went to school. She had to walk across the moors to get down to...
Fangdale Beck.
Fangdale Beck,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And two of the places she lived are just derelict now.
Mm.
They're still there.
Yeah.
Just left to rot.
Well, occasionally you get an artist comes and sort of does it up and lives there a bit and then goes again. But I was at school at Kirby, and we used to go to grammar school on the train to Pickering.
They had the train in there.
We had
the
train
they?
Then. So I never had to walk to school.
No, you're lucky. Well, so did all the children go on the same train and come back on the same train?
Yeah, there wasn't many of us went, though. It wasn't like, you know, when they go to Bedlam, there's hundreds of kids going.
Was there a train to there as well?
No, there wasn't. It wasn't Bedlam.
Oh, so how did they get to school?
Bedlam wasn't there. They stayed in the village schools. If you didn't pass your 11 plus... You stayed in your village school.
I didn't know.
Until what age? What age did they leave?
14.
14, 15.
And they stayed there till 14?
Mm.
Oh, right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when the year I went to grammar school, I think there were 6 of us out of Kirby went.
Really?
And the rest of Kirby kids would stay at Kirby school.
Mm.
And then my sister, who was 8 years younger than me, when she would be about 13, they built at Rydale. And then they used to go on buses because trains were long gone. Then Mr. Beeching had been at the trains by then. Mm. That was the end of that.
And did you find that the kids that went to different schools had different ways of speaking then?
They did when they'd been there a bit, yeah.
Yeah, because I just wondered if you're aware that you've got different ways of speaking with different groups of people.
Well, I don't know. I always maintain I couldn't understand this because we'd always been friends, all of us together in Kirby, and then the ones who got passed to the grammar school, the others didn't want to know us.
Really?
And the standard thing is it's the other way around, isn't it? You know, yeah. We think we're too good for them, but they're just, the minute you went to the grammar school, you weren't one of us, you were one of them. Mm. And it was strange. It took me a long time to understand. Well, I never did understand it. Mm. I just thought, well, you know. Mm. That's
what
how it
they
is.
Call it, not reverse.
Yeah, I suppose they feel you've left, don't they? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine, you're still there at night and holidays. Yeah. And
but then you stayed there, really, didn't you? So you must have been accepted there again by everybody. They didn't think you.
Well, they do, but I mean, it's funny because there's more of them talk to me now.
That's the thought.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any influence from, you said you had ancestors came from Tyneside.
Mm.
Are you aware of any influence that their language brought into your family?
No, because I think Nanny must have been quite young when she came down, because she was real broad Yorkshire. I can remember her being real broad Yorkshire. Mm. But her brother used to come, Uncle John, and he was real Geordie. And he had a real sing-song Geordie, and he was a great bloke. He was one of these fat, jolly. Like he came to work at the Rosedale mines. And Nanny and her husband ended up master and mistress of Kirby Workhouse for about 11 or 12 years, I think.
Yeah.
And were you aware of any new words that he brought in then? Can you remember?
Uncle John, no, not really.
That sounded odd to you.
I can remember my granddad, my other granddad, who was from Leeds. Well, Rothwell. He never really lost his West Riding accent. Mm. And he always used to go and read a book. He didn't used to read, whereas I would go and read a book, he went and read a book. Mm. And go and have a look at things. So I think he's the only one I can remember. You don't really analyse it till you get older, you know, you just do it, don't you?
Yeah. But you know what we're trying to think are the words that people don't use now, and the words that you are fond of and might want to hang on to.
The trouble is that nobody's schools, I think, are a lot responsible for it, because they're probably right. You won't get a good job if you talk like that.
Mm. And the media.
The media's terrible.
They're changing slightly now, I think, aren't they? But they certainly have been guilty of.
Mm.
But nobody's teaching, like my kids' generation. I had a son and a daughter, and I sadly lost my son years ago. But he talked more native than my daughter did, who was worked away all the time. And she said, well, it's all right, but if you want to have a job abroad, not abroad, but away, you've got to modify your accent, and nobody knows what you're talking about, which is quite sensible, isn't it?
Yeah. Does she modify it back when she comes here?
It's sneaking back a bit now.
what do you notice that she uses then?
Well, as I said, she
it's these words that she said, interesting.
excuse me, she slipped and said, oh, it's slipped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
But nobody's, none at younger, you can't get any younger people to. Oh, I don't know what the word I want. Everybody who's looking into dialect and all these people who set this up, and it's all very nice, but they're all the university professors.
Mm.
Nobody can use it. Nobody can.
Yes.
You know.
I think that they're trying to make it more accessible, aren't they, by advertising it a lot. But yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but when I went to do this one at West Ayton. There was, well, I don't know, probably 20, 30 people there. They're all very nice and a good audience and laughed in the right places, so I thought, well, they must understand some of it. But there wasn't a farmer or a local among them. And somebody who's lived down south somewhere and comes up here, they aren't going to learn to...
No, it's almost like a novelty, isn't it?
Yeah, you're the token native, yeah. As it were.
And you've just said that you often tell stories to make people laugh instead of...
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, I think it's easier to tell stories to make people laugh than hold their attention if it's going on and on and on and wrong. Nothing. Yeah, so I think we're...
So, can you think of anything then that you'd like to tell us about that you is very precious to you about that dialect that you think is slipping away? Because, you know, it'd be really nice to hear some of those expressions that you're sad about losing. Which ones do you think are really kind of helpful and useful to describe things and talk about things?
You can't think of anything.
No, I know, really got to think. That's why I think we should eavesdrop rather than, you know, we really would like to hear them and think about the kind of...
Well, out of a situation...
Words that you want to save, really.
I can't think of anything. Useful. You know, we were at a sheepdog trial in Wales once and we were in a village shop and there was me and this friend of mine and this... Welsh lady came in and the Welsh lady behind the thing and they were gabbling away in Welsh and sort of looking at us and like, you know. So I said to my friend, well, again, quietly am now. And this woman looks at this other woman and they hadn't a clue what we said. And I'm like, yes.
Get them back up. Get me on game. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. So, can't have a secret language then.
Yes, it's nice to have a secret language. Another story about this reminded me about that. My dad was clerk to Kirby Council for donkey's years, and they used to go to conferences, local government conferences, once a year, and stay in hotels in Bournemouth. And we used to say it was just a jolly, was having a nice holiday.
Yeah.
And a friend of his was telling this story that they'd been. He got into this hotel and he was having a drink at the bar and he met another Yorkshireman. And the minute you get with a dialect speaker, you go straight back into it. You know. So he'd been sort of at the side of him and this barmaid had come up and said, excuse me, sir, yeah, are you with these gentlemen? So I said, yeah, they were. She said, what language are they speaking? I've been trying to make it into Norwegian, but I can't make it into anything. Nothing like that. I don't know. Yeah.
So,
do you think language comes from the geography, the place where it is? I mean, the Scottish dialect is... It's so strong and so distinct.
My dad always used to say that Geordie was a cross between Scottish and Yorkshire.
Well, exactly.
It's where it merged into.
He's right, I think.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
I mean, when you listen to people who are from places that are apart but not too far, you can sort of kind of see a connection, can't you?
Yeah.
And yet, a
lot of the.
Quite the same.
A lot of the West Riding words, if you write them down, they're the same. It's just that it's gone. That they, it's gone. I've got another one now, another wanderer. A lot of the West Riding Yorkshire words, dialect words, are the same written down, but they're just same, different.
Mm.
You know, like, it's the same again that used to say look, and we would say look.
Yeah. And I've noticed that there's a big similarity between Lancashire or Manchester area way and West Yorkshire.
Mm.
You can almost, you know, you're not quite sure.
It's northern, isn't it? It's northern,
yeah.
Whether it's Lancashire.
Just a little twist.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
The way.
But I mean, they'll be the same as we are with Adam saying eight miles against, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it maybe depends on... I don't know, but the media's ruining everybody's dialect, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's mixed.
Yeah,
it was always looked down on. years ago, wasn't it? To have a broad dialect.
Did they know?
Strong it back, figured it.
Yeah. How far did you travel out of your village when you were young and growing up? Did you mix with people? Did you go to events a long way away?
They're not very well, not very far, because it was wartime and nobody went anywhere because you couldn't get any petrol. And, yeah. Only a bus every now and again, and it was all a different time, you know. It was a more self-controlled place, was Kirby.
Mm.
It had shops and saddlers and shoe shops, and we went to Scarborough quite a bit because my granny came from Scarborough and she thought there was nowhere like Scarborough. So we went there quite a bit.
Different dialect there.
Definitely different, and a different dialect from the how she spoke as a what she considered herself to be, a sort of a genteel Edwardian lady to her brother, who used to be on a fishing boat, and used to a different dialect altogether. The North Riding, North Yorkshire fishing folk speak another dialect altogether.
Can you remember any of that? That would be interesting too.
They used to say, they didn't say them, they used to say them, and these here, and things like that. I can't remember really, but it's a different, the fisherman's language is different to the farm's language, which is different again to the off-cunt people's language.
And probably different from the jet mining language.
Probably, well, they would be more Geordies, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear some of these expressions, really, but it's really hard out of context, isn't it?
Well, I have. What can we do?
Yeah. Oh, you've brought lots of things.
Oh, yes, I've brought lots of stuff. These words were one I did when I did a talk in our village hall, and their words. I don't want that one because that one's got answers on it.
Oh, you're going to test it.
No, I'm just going to give you it because you. Those were all words that I gave them, and I said, write down, you know, what you think they are.
Oh, do you want to read those out? That would be great.
I wouldn't know where to start with that.
No.
We need you to say the word and we'll have a go.
And you can tell us what it is as well. Then.
Well, first one's a bone.
A boon. A good thing?
No.
About?
No, nearly.
Above?
Above.
Above?
Yeah.
A boon.
And a hint?
An idea or a clue? Or...
No. Your friend sat a hint of you.
Next to us.
Back behind.
Behind.
Oh, behind. Yes. Right, behind. Yeah.
Addle. Addle.
Is that sour when something's addled?
No. That's curdled.
Handled?
Touched? No, it's addled. It's earning your money in various different ways.
How would you use that in a sentence?
Well, my mother-in-law used to say she never had any money. It was always in Adeline's bank. Which meant it well went into the pot and you never saw it again, you know. Went to buy a sheep or a tractor tyre. Yeah. Barfing.
Oh, being sick?
No.
I know why you said that. We live near a great bath.
Yeah.
Bath.
No, it's not spent like bath, spelt like Baru, isn't it? It's B-A-R-F-A-N.
Bathroom?
No. It's a horse collar.
Horse collar?
Mm.
What?
You know, if you see a cart horse,
yes.
It's got a big collar around his neck that takes the strain when he's pulling.
Oh,
that's his barfing.
Barfing?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's a great word.
Bazzock? That's it, Wayne.
That sounds rude.
No, it's not rude. Not very nice, but it's not rude.
Oh, stupid or something.
No, that's if you give somebody a good bazooka, you give them a good hide. bake. That's a bit misleading because it could mean two or three things, actually.
How do you spell it?
Well, I've spelt it. This is the thing about dialect. Nobody knows how you spell it. You just you try and spell it how it sounds. Bake is, I've put B-A-A-K.
Say it in a sentence.
Bake. Baking.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to bake a cake.
Baking, yeah. That almost sounds Geordie to me, baking.
Yeah, well, probably does. Do you have Geordie connections? No. Cagmag.
Sentence.
Give us
a sentence again.
Well, you if you go out down the street in the morning and you meet Mrs. Somebody and you're talking about somebody else and you're cagmaggling.
Gossiping.
Gossiping about.
That's
good. Right.
I've not heard that one before.
Mm. Lost my place now. Chunter.
Chattering. Mumbling.
Mm. Chuntering, that's right. Dander.
Get your dander up.
Yeah. Don't.
Don't.
Do not. Don't. Yeah. And then this is an insect. Can't remember what that is. I've got it going deaf now. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. A dundee cow. That's a Yorkshire word for a ladybird.
A Dundee cow?
Mm. Don't ask me why.
Oh, say it again.
Dundee cow.
Dundee cow.
Mm-hmm. It's like in that other thing I read out, a resel's a weasel.
Yeah.
You know, a weasel.
Yeah.
Mm. They have different names for things. Ean, double E-N.
Own. On your own? No.
You have two E's, but one of them's an Ean. It's an eye, your eyes.
Oh, is that plural then?
Can
it be singular? Can it be just one eye?
An E.
E would be one
E,
eye.
Two
E.
Yeah.
An A. Oh, right. Yeah.
Can't read now. Five. F-A-H-V-E. Five. Fairish.
Okay.
Middling?
Yeah, that's right. Fallout.
An argument.
Mm. It must have been here a fair while.
But would you use that as a thing, a noun? Would you say that they had
a fallout?
A fallout rather than they fell out.
Mm.
Would you use both?
Mm. Both.
Both. Mm.
I wasn't very good at grammar anyway.
No, I'm just thinking, can you,
feel.
Feel.
Do you know what a feel is? A fool.
Oh.
Femme. That's a good word. I like femme.
Give us a sentence.
Mind how you go up that ladder, it's a bit femme.
Unsafe. Femme.
Where does that come from?
Dunno.
Femme.
My, I used to have a Scottish friend, she's gone now, bless her. And she always said everything, she wouldn't say femme, she would say it was peely welly. And I used to think that was a marvellous way.
Peely welly, yeah, I love that.
I'm not going up there, it looks a bit peely welly. She came out of Glasgow. a flittermouse. You know what a flittermouse is?
Oh, bat.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fussock.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, we've got some of these in the thing.
Fussock.
Fussock, yes.
Hedgehog.
Donkey.
Donkey, that's donkey. Right, yes, that's one of Claire's words.
It's a hedgehog's a prickly back option.
A what?
A prickly back option.
Urchin?
No, auction.
Auction.
Don't ask me why, I don't know.
What does that, can you say that by itself, just an auction?
I suppose you could, but I mean...
What's an auction then?
It's like they always say, heron. old people never used to say, oh, there's Heron so. They said, oh, there's Heron so. Not just Heron, Heron so. And I never did find out what it meant, but it's, that's what they call them, Heron so. Garth.
Oh, that's like a garden.
Mm, that's a garden. Gimel.
I've heard of that.
Is that like a passageway? Mm, is that the passageway?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the end of that,
great.
I think.
Oh, wow, those are wonderful. Have you got lots of collections like that then?
Oh, yes, I've got lots of things there. Oh, there's some sayings here that my daddy used to say.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't really nice to say this. If somebody had been... If she'd been somewhere and somebody had looked at looked disapprovingly at her or at somebody, she used to say, make a comment.
That's definitely a farming one, that.
Half a yard of pump water, that was somebody who was not very big. Loping about like a stone pig trough, that was, you know, I mean, a stone pig trough weighs a ton and you can't jump around.
As well.
Yeah.
Now, 8 to 3 penneth of copper, that's another one. My grandfather used to have a friend apparently who used to say in flappers when the old girls, all Edwardian ladies, cut the skirts off and put their hair, you know. And he was heard to say quite frequently, she had legs up to the ass like a tear fit.
Like a what?
Tearfit.
What's a tearfit?
A plumber. A plover. Plover.
Oh, a plover.
If you think about a plover.
Long legs.
They just straight go straight up, don't they? That was another one. Another one was walk about as if dead lice was dropping off him.
As if dead lice was dropping
off him.
What? I don't quite understand that.
What would that mean?
Well, suppose if you had dead lice dropping off you. You weren't much good for eating, I suppose. I don't know, really. Another one was my daddy used to... My daddy used to tell me I was like this. You have a little leaking out of a pond of tow. That was if you had your hair all hanging over your face.
Like a...
Yowlet, that's an owl. Leaking, that's looking. Out of a pond of tow. Tow is what they used to... Plumbers used to dress joints with tow.
Yeah.
Like stringy stuff to, you know, there was a rub their shoulder with it or something, didn't they? I don't know what they did. Drunk as a scarperel.
A what?
Scarperel.
Scarperel?
That's a beetle.
Oh.
So apparently they walk about as if they're drunk. Tight as a tick.
Yeah.
Like toad woman's dish clout looks better when it's dry.
The dishcloth looks better when it's dry.
Looks better when it's dry. Looks better when it's dry. And the friend of mine used to say, if you were at a sheepdog trial and there was a dog, you know, I said, what sort of a dog's that? I said, well, I didn't know. It looks like a cross between a barrel thistle and a ducking.
What, do you know what they mean, Barrett?
Well, it's nothing to do with a dog at all. Like
what's that?
It's a cross between a birth thistle. A birth thistle is a big thistle like that, and a docking, you know. It meant that dog had was a mongrel, more or less.
A real mix.
Yeah. Wished as an ass. It's as quiet as a mouse.
What was the first bit?
Wished.
Whist.
Wished.
Wished.
None of you used to say that, actually. Wished. Wished with it.
Yeah,
it's really quiet. Kids chattering, you know.
Mm.
Wished. And I'll tell you what, we used to wish as well, because... And his word was law. I weren't very old. I was about 8, I think, when she died, but she was a very formidable lady.
Yeah. Very Victorian, was she, in her dress? And...
I suppose Edwardian rather than Victorian. She always wore a long black skirt, and a white apron, and a grey blouse. And those buckle shoes, you know, where one strap comes over and a button.
Yeah.
And she always had her hair in a bun on top of her head.
Did she wear any kind of lace headdress
on? No.
And did you know people who wore the jet jewellery a lot, because they were mining it?
Not really. I think they wouldn't have enough money to buy it.
No.
It's expensive.
Yeah. We have odd bits of jet that's come from here and there. I don't really know where they've come from, but I don't think it's any connection. I think it's things that people have bought over the years, you know. Mm. So, I mean, they would take it all up to Whit because that's where they where they'd cut it all, isn't it? And satire it and whatnot. Yeah. Fat as a mark.
A mark? Mm. What's one of those?
A maggot.
Okay.
Cricked as a dog's hind leg, that means it's crooked. My husband used to say that about my fences.
Did you used to make fences then?
No, but when you have sheep, you have netting fences. And he used to set his bit really straight, you know, and mine used to run. I said, well, they don't get out, it doesn't matter. they don't like crooked fencing. Yeah.
Those are great. And I hadn't heard a lot of them before.
No, no, not yet.
A little bit there, but it came out at David. I can't claim any credit for this because it came out at Yorkshire Post. It tickled me. It says, David had a little steer near beginner a button. He swirled it at Glen Eye the Seed and killed him dead as mutton.
What? He swirled it at what?
David had a little steer.
Yeah.
That's a little stone.
Yeah.
Near beginner a button, swirled it at Goliath's head.
Oh, Goliath.
And killed him dead as mutton.
Well, I didn't get the
film
in Goliath.
I missed the Goliath.
Well, maybe don't do it very well.
No, you do, it's great.
No, the trouble is we're not tuned into it, which is a real shame.
Mm. There's a story there, but you won't have time to read about a fuzzock.
Fuzzock?
A donkey.
There's no good giving it to me. I don't want to hear you say it. can we have that read?
I don't
see
why not.
No, it's better.
We're running out of time, won't we?
We're fine if you are.
I'm all right. I'm tired now. I can do as I want. Well, it's a story about a bloke called Jit who lived in our village, and it's true, is it? And we were all sat watching, building sandcastles and watching donkeys and walking up and down. And old Jit suddenly said, "You're so going to ski on a fuzzock like yon, my sister over lad and me." And, "Bye, was a grandin. Did I ever tell you a story about him?" So they said, "Oh, no, you didn't tell a story." So he says, well, I'll tell you. Says, "A fuzzock's a donkey, the nose. And we'd had this anniversary that I could remember. He'd take us to school all the time we had to go, and we knew Mr. D and Ian on us." So everybody said, "Well, what happened to him?" He says, "Well, when we left school and we're getting into work, we used to ride him to the fields in the morning and yam again at night. Yeah, there, we went to our turnips at 12 acre and come dinner time. When we sat down to eat our scranner, well, I says, 'What's up with Todd Fuzzock?' And did it all know, he was staying dead. Dead as a nit. Well, me and our lad looked at him for a bit, and then we decided we'd better dig home and put him in. And we dug out the rest of that afternoon. When we thought it was deep enough, we bundled him in. Trouble was, it wasn't half deep enough. And when we filled it, poor Todd Fuzzock's feet were sticking out its top. And so we said, 'Well, what did you do then? Did you dig him up again?' 'No,' he said. 'We left him there with his foul feet poked up top. And every time we worked in that field, we hung our bait bags on him, kept him out at wet grass. For all I know, he's still there. I ain't been down there in that field for a long while.'"
That's fantastic.
Yes, it is. Oh, I'm glad you read that.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Medicine to come for my dog. And this old farmer came in and he was a real old-fashioned one. I'd never seen anybody like him for a long time. He had a mucky old long black coat on, you know, those Crombie coats they used to wear. I think he used to get them from post office. Before they advanced, postmen used to come round with big, heavy, you know, coats, like army great coats. Anyway, he had this coat on and he had mucky boots. He'd obviously brushed them, but he hadn't brushed them very well. And this sort of cow smell came in with him, you know. Which to me is great. I don't mind having the smell of farms. Everybody was a bit... Anyway, he got shuffled up to the reception and he said to Lassa, come to bear me bill. All right, oh, Mr. So-and-so. So she's faffing about, you know. And she said, well, I think you've paid it. Ever? She says, yeah. I think you paid it. So anyway, they scrabbled about for a bit. I mean, the worst thing a Yorkshire farmer can do is try and pay a bill twice. It's criminal, you know. So anyway, they sort of compromised it by deciding that bills had crossed. And he'd sent this, he'd paid it, so that was all right. Oh, well, that's right. All right, then, he says, right. So I sort of recovered his equilibrium, and then he says, I want something for... foot rotten, I want something for... And I wasn't really listening then, anyway. So she came back with an arm of medicines and stuck them on the thing, and he says... Now, which ones do you want, Mr. So-and-so? And he says... Well, he says, I'll have a piece of them and four of them, and I thought, yes! I've never heard anybody speak it naturally like that for years. Yeah.
And that was recently?
Yeah, only a week or two back, yeah. Oh, right. Apparently he came from Brompton or somewhere, I don't know who he was, but... yeah.
Yes, I was in a shop once and the smell wafted in.
Yes, it does.
Big, burly young chap with wellies and of course everyone was sort of edging away from him. He did apologise, actually, which I thought was nice.
Sometimes, though, you know, you can't... smells... sort of pervade with you, and you can't. Silage is a terrible smell. Mm-hmm. We used to have cattle on silage, and in later years it's just altered out of sight because you have about 100 cattle and you have a machine and you stick it in your bale and you stick it over the top. And before you used to have to put it in long troughs and you used to be, and you know, like this or on a fork and whatnot, and you couldn't get rid of the smell of silage. Mm-hmm. But and pigs seem to cling. Pig smells seem to cling. But anyway, if you're a farmer, you don't notice it so much. You know, it's only when they come in somewhere where it's clean. Because when you're at home, you all smell like that. Either dogs or sheep or something.
Yeah. I live in Marton, and we're surrounded by farms.
You will be. Yeah.
There's a big pig farm just up the road. Mm-hmm. Always spreading muck on the fields.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to plough it in now, we shall.
Yeah.
24 hours, otherwise you fine you for making a smell. Yeah.
Do you? You get fined,
do you? Supposed to do, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I haven't noticed that having any effect around us.
Well, every time these restrictions come in for farmers, it just makes them into bigger criminals because they just find a way around it, because they just have to do, otherwise they wouldn't get done.
It's like the muddy roads. I mean, they're supposed to clear that up, but they can't, can they?
No. Well, you can. I mean, when we grew taties, we had to buy a huge big brush, and you put it on the back of a tractor and it cleared it away, officially it cleared it away, but in actual fact, all it did was put the mud in the holes in the tarmac and make it like a skating ring. So, you know, if you're going to go around it in a hurry, you'd be better really going through the mud and washing your car than going off into a hedge.
Yeah, yeah.
People who make rules don't understand. Mm.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Right.
Shall we move on to the next?
Yes, you've switched on your... Yes. Can I just show you some pictures and ask you what you'd call each of them? We need to keep them in the right order, but right. So that we know what's what, but... Oh, you've already told
that's a prickly
back
option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is.
What's the last word that you said? Prickly back?
Odgson.
Odgson. Mm.
Don't know why.
Like urchin, maybe? Because maybe. Sea urchin.
Urchin, yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah, it could be, yeah. That's a daddy long legs.
Is that what you call it?
That is, yeah. It's a crane fly, actually.
Yeah, daddy long legs.
Daddy long legs.
Yeah.
Oh, that has a name. Twitch bell, I think. That's an earwig. Mm. The twitch bell, I think they call that.
Number four. What's that plant?
Well, I call it sticky willy, but it's a cleaver.
I call it sticky weed. I've heard someone else call it sticky willy.
It's good for keeping, if you're ever out and getting eaten with flies and midges, and you can find some of that.
Yeah.
Make it like a crown of thorns and stick it on your head and kick you.
Oh, that's a good idea. Great.
And they don't forget you've got it on. Because I did one day. And the bloke said, just talking away, and he said, right, I'm off now. And I said, cheerio. He says, is that latest fashion for fencing? And I got these stupid things stuck on. I don't know what that is. It's something with a raindrop on it. It's a dew drop.
Yeah.
Oh. They're goodies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a bread bun?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bread bun then.
Yeah. What do you call those?
Oh, those, yeah.
That's a scone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
And
not a scone, a scone. Them spring onions. There is another name for them, I can't remember what it is.
The scallions, is that what you think?
Maybe, could be.
What are they doing?
Well...
What's going on, though?
Well, what are they doing? They're larking about, aren't they, I suppose?
Yeah. Is it what she's... Yeah. Giving him?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
What's she giving him?
Oh,
a piggyback.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
I didn't.
What do you call that?
That's a seesaw.
Yeah.
I don't have another name for that.
Now, the next bit, it says complete the sentence by selecting the words you'd use in the conversation. So can you read the sentence with the words that you would stick in there?
None of them.
What would you say?
I said.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
And what about this one, about the food? The food was...
Any of them, really. None of them, probably. I would have said food was all right.
That's okay, that's fine.
That's good. Yeah. Fine. And then we have some questions that about words that you'd use. So, what do you call a room in a house for storing food?
Pantry.
And if you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
Clammed.
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
Clammed.
Clammed. And what words do you use for something to eat? You want something to eat?
Well, if you're going to go right back in dialect, they used to call it scran.
Scran. Mm-hmm.
But when we first started farming, it was lowance.
Oh, yeah.
You got your lowance. And then there isn't a word now, I don't think.
No, just something to eat. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And... what do you call a coffee you might get from a cafe with lots of milk in it?
Oh, I don't know my coffees. I send my daughter to get mine. Now they call them milky whites, don't they, or something?
Yeah, all sorts of different things.
There's all sorts of different things.
And what's the dairy product that you spread on toast or sandwiches?
Butter.
Which word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break in a game? When points can't be scored.
When points can't be scored?
Yeah, when you have a little pause in the game.
I've no idea, I never play a game. I'd had a minute.
If you fall over in the playground, your knee might be...
Get gravel rash.
Gravel rash?
Mm.
And if you got covered in dirt in the playground, when you get home, you might need to get in the
bath.
And when children are very excited, you might say they're full of...
mischief, fun, I don't know.
Mm. And at the end of a long and tiring day, you'd say you are absolutely...
knackered.
Which word would you use for to mean not attending school?
Scaring.
Mm. And sometimes when children have been very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away. Did you have anybody like that, a mysterious person?
No, mother-in-law used to always tell my kids that if they didn't behave, if they didn't have to go near ponds, Peggy Greenteeth would get them.
Oh, Peggy Greenteeth.
But I never did find out who Peggy Greenteeth was. But it worked. They didn't go.
Do you think that was just your family, or did you hear that?
It was my mother-in-law used to say it. I don't know. Right. She had about 6 grandchildren. They all got told the same.
Right. Oh, and if you grow crops and where do you grow crops and raise animals? On a
farm.
Yeah. When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes will get covered in.
Depends where you walk.
Generally.
Get wet, I suppose. Mm. Nice thing about countryside after heavy rain is it smells lovely.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Well, people have been talking about that lately, haven't they? Because we've had the heavy rain.
And, yeah, it smelled lovely, didn't it?
Do you have a word for that?
No, don't, I think. Don't think I have, really.
When driving in icy or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are
slip.
And which word do you use as a term of endearment with strangers even?
I don't know. I seem to call everybody sunshine, you already. All grandchildren.
Yeah, is that you call your grandchildren that?
Mm.
Sunshine.
Mine, it looks a bit stupid now because I'm about 25, but
I bet they like it. And which word would you use to refer to someone as very attractive?
Bonnie.
What's your word for spreading rumours?
Cowwaggling. You're not too old to learn.
And a picture not hanging straight is...
Screw with.
Mm-hmm. And what do you call a very small piece of wood that's got into your finger?
Splinter. No, I wouldn't actually. I would call it a spell.
Mm. Mm. And what do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
Cobbler. Very short supply these days.
Yeah. And the final one that I just want to ask you all the time, do you have any other words you'd like to tell us about? And I know you do.
Oh, there you go.
You've told us many, haven't you? Have you got any others that you can think of that we'd like to hear?
I can't think of any.
Does anybody in your family tease you for a certain word you use?
No, I think they're just used to me.
Mm. Mm.
Older ones, younger ones don't.
Yeah, because they'd be the ones that might notice, wouldn't they, if you had a word that they didn't hear anybody else using.
None of my grandchildren have any accents at all.
Mm. Where do they live?
Well, they've been all over to uni and my eldest grandson's just had 3 years in Ireland. So he's going up at the end of his sentences occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's mainly in farming areas. It's mainly amongst farmers where dialect's left now.
Yeah.
When people who don't speak dialect try and write it, they get the words right, but they don't get the connecting words right.
Yes.
No, they'll say, I went to the... Whereas a dialect person speaking dialect would say, I went to...
Yes, yeah, it's difficult to...
It's a bit like sort of a dialect shorthand.
Mm.
It must be difficult to understand for people who who haven't done it all their lives. You know, mm. Cause it's
Lovely. Thank you very much.